Super excited for you guys being in church today, for God being here. We invite his presence every week we're here. And excited for Pastor Stephen preaching last week and then giving you the worksheet this week. Go through that and see if we can get some breakthrough in some of those cycles in our life. Amen? Have some renewed thinking. Amen? Yeah, that's a possibility for all of us. We don't have to think like we thought before, and that will change the outcome of our life, and that's glorious. So Pastor Stephen got a worksheet for you this morning, and we can take steps after that. We're going to I don't know what it is, a new message for sure, probably a new series. Been sniffing around 2 Peter for a little bit, and just kept getting led back there. And do you guys remember anything about Peter in the Bible? He was one of Jesus' disciples, and we're not going to do a whole introduction on this, but he was kind of a foot. Read one commentator, he said he had a foot-shaped mouth. Right? Have you ever known anyone like that, or have you ever been anyone like that? Right? Always putting your foot in your mouth, and Peter was kind of always doing that, but God saw the potential in Peter, because God was the one that made Peter, right? Yeah. Yep. Simon means God heard or whatever. And so God saw Peter because he made him. And with all of his deficiencies and with all of his brashness and all of his impulsiveness and whatever, God knew. God knew. And I read someone else said, we all are on a journey from becoming Simon into Peter. You're all on your journey from Simon to Peter. And I liked that. Because Jesus, he said, you're no longer going to be called Simon. You're going to be called Peter, which means rock. And if you were around Peter at the whole time, like, you would have been, okay, wait, did you pick the wrong person? Right? And God saw what everyone else couldn't see. He said, I'm going to give you a new name. Did you know that the Lord has a new name for you guys? You're going to get that new name, what is it, on a stone, and the white stone or whatever, and you'll get a new name. And I don't know this, because the Bible doesn't tell us this, so this is not in the Word of God, but the concepts are in the Word of God. I just believe it's going to be a name that represents all God has, and it's throughout eternity you're going to live out that God-given purpose. Because you're not just going to be an angel sitting on a cloud playing a harp. Right, you're going to have divine purpose to be fulfilled that can start to be fulfilled in this lifetime. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go to 2 Peter, and the last book, the previous book, which would be aptly titled 1 Peter, that book, you'll see things more like, you know, newborn babies, you know, crave spiritual milk and whatever. And kind of an initial, like the vibe of it is more of this initial, like let's be free and let's taste and see that the Lord is good, kind of just diving into it. 2 Peter is wanting us to grow up and mature more, and that's more of the vibe. There's the same message in both books, but 2 Peter is more of that, let's be fully mature, and let's walk in the freedom and the victory and the power that's available to us. Amen? Does that sound like a good plan? Let's walk in what the Lord has for us. Let's do that. Let's grow up in that, and let's just be victorious. Look at someone and say, be victorious. Be victorious. Yeah. So that's this vision that 2 Peter, kind of the tenor of that, the timber of that letter, sounds a little bit more like that. And deals with a bunch of different other things as well, but let's just start in the first couple verses of this, and so that's kind of the idea that I was going to get to as we were going into 2 Peter. So it says this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace, shalom. Remember that from a couple weeks ago? Grace, charis, right? The face of God, the favor of God, and shalom, the fullness, completeness of all that you were called to be yours in abundance. Now, as you start this morning, have you ever, hold on, just push pause. We're at grace and peace. Just push pause on that for a second. Have you ever had someone start a conversation with you, and you just know from the, maybe it starts like, hey, we need to have a conversation about something. Or in my house, Kids, we need to have a meeting. Nobody wanted to show up for that one. Maybe at work, or maybe your spouse, or maybe that still gives you, maybe you're 60 years old and that still gives you shudders from your mom and dad or whatever. I don't know. But you've had someone start a conversation, and in the back of your mind, and this all happens just in nanoseconds, but in the back of your mind, you kind of form opinions of what their intentions are. Do they have ill will for me? Are they trying to accomplish their own desires? You immediately kind of try to get in a defensive posture. We just were having a conversation. I do this quite often because it's a new thing for me. Being able to have conversations where you want to elicit and see change in someone, but not getting people defensive. Because as soon as you get defensive, as soon as you feel like you're backed in the corner, you're not worried about changing anymore. You're worried about defending your ground. Even if you don't think your position's right, it's automatic. You just want to push back. And so it's something that I've learned, and I don't do very well, but I've learned the concept. And so I'm always working on it, always trying to grow in that. And so the point is, we want to see change. So Peter starts off his letter, grace and peace. He said, I want you to know what I have in mind before we even get into any of the... Peter's not starting this letter with, hey, we need to have a conversation. That's not how he's starting. He's starting this letter, hey, I'm Peter, by the way. My name is Peter. Starts off a servant and apostle of Jesus. And he's talking about those who through the righteousness of God have received faith as precious as ours. And he says, oh, by the way, I want to just let you know, I'm offering grace and peace. Not just a little bit, in abundance. How much is abundance? It's more than enough. Well, whatever enough is, it's more than that. Well, you just don't know how much I need a lot. Well, then it's more than that. Whatever your need is for grace and peace in your life, that's what Peter is wishing upon you. That's what he's prophesying over you. That's what he's declaring to you. That's his greeting towards you. And it's not just like we said in our shalom message, it's not just a greeting. It's this declaration over your life. Shalom, the fullness, completeness of God. Grace, his face and favor turning towards you. How many want to listen to someone like that who has authority and means, and they come up to you and they're like, all I want to see for you guys is blessing and the shalom of God and God's favor for you. You're like, tell me more, right? So that's what when we start reading 1 Peter, we want to recognize that that's his heart for us. And we want to go, tell me more. Tell me more. Oh, that's three of you. Great. All right, the rest of you can leave. Tell me more. I want to know what the Lord has for me in this. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. A couple more verses. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is so power-packed. It is just full of goodness at every single turn. Every line is just packed with the goodness of God. And so I was so excited to kind of preach on that today. And anyone ever been walking by a barbed wire fence? Anyone ever got snagged before? That is an odd feeling. Whoa, I got a scar right back here from going through a barbed wire fence. There is a point. I got snagged. So I was on my journey to preaching about this, and I got snagged by something. I got hooked. And I'm like, it wouldn't kind of let go of me. And so I backed up a little bit, so we're going to back up to the verses before that. And it says, Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith. You've received your faith, as what? Precious as ours. And that caught me. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think I've heard that before. And so I started digging into the places that Peter talks about things being precious. And so we're going to go through those just a little bit. But just before we get there, I want you to see if you know. And this is a rerun. I've shown you pictures like this before, so this isn't something new. But maybe you've seen something like that before. Has anyone ever watched the show Hoarders? Is anyone familiar with hoarding as an activity or a condition? Okay? That's bad. And so that one's really dirty, and that's often how they are. Sometimes they're cleaner or whatever, and they look a little more like that. But there's this show, and if you have never seen the show, I'll kind of give you the whole complicated premise. People won't let stuff go, and so people have to come in and do an intervention in their home. That's what it is. So they have all these, they have a psychologist there, and they have cleaners and city workers and whatever, and so it's always filled with drama, and good dramatic TV sells, right? The more drama there is, the more people want to watch it. Well, there's lots of drama because these people have hung on to these things for forever and forever and forever, and they don't want to let them go. And so sometimes it's garbage, but oftentimes it's just stuff, and it turns into garbage, and it's not uncommon at all for them to find underneath, you know, 8 feet of stuff that's been in there for years, they'll find their pet cat or something that's been, you know, dead, and rats and just rotted away floors from all the kinds of, because they can't get to the bathroom anymore. You know, just it's, so I'm not trying to pick on that. I'm trying to present a condition. And so there's all kinds of things that go into it. My wife, if she was honest, would say that probably I would end up in a place that looked very similar to this if it were not for her. Everything that she throws away, I consider to be a personal attack. And a means for her to inflict pain upon my heart that she takes great joy in. I'm kind of a nostalgic person, so I like to hang on to things. And she's cruel, so she likes to throw them away. So... But she would probably be honest and say that, yeah, Kirk would end up looking, and I don't disagree with that. I probably really would, and that's because you might need it. And this funny story, I don't remember what it was. It was a piece of wire or something, and we had kept it. I think had it at our house in town. Then we moved out to the trailer. Then we built our new house. We moved in the new house, lived in the basement for 8 years. Then we moved upstairs, and it was while we were living upstairs. So that's 4 moves later, 26 years of marriage. This was just last year or the year before. Had kept the thing, whatever the thing was. I had kept it. Kept it for all that time. She's like, you're never going to, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. It was a switch or a piece of wire or something. And we're cleaning out the shed or whatever. She said, can I throw this away? I'm like, fine. If you want to ruin my life, fine. You're going to do it anyways. Fine. So she throws it away. It's in the dumpster. Beep, beep, beep. Truck comes. It drives away. Garbage is gone. 2 days later. This true story. But like, I'm like, oh, where's that? We could use the thing. Guess where it was? It was now at the Roberts County landfill. So I had to go buy another one. 25 years of hanging on to that thing, and it was more than $2. So this is it's a real deal, and this is a very painful message for me. I'm just being vulnerable with you guys this morning. I'm walking through my pain and my loss to bring this message of Christ to you this morning. So in a lot of these situations, not downplaying, there's psychological issues, right? There's trauma that these people are working through. So not poking fun. I mean, I'm poking fun of me, but I'm not poking fun of the situations that the people are in. But ultimately, if you want to get past all the psychoses and all past all the trauma, ultimately, it's just one problem is they consider all of this, the tray of food, of a TV dinner, you know, the leftover from 12 years ago. But I don't want to get rid of that because it's precious to them. It's valuable to them. It's somehow what you and I would see as garbage is value. And that's what people that aren't struggling with any of those kind of issues walk into the house and go, whoa, let's throw out all this trash. And they go, wait a minute, these are treasures. Wait a minute, I might need that. I mean, for someone like me, it's true. You know, I just have a mean wife. But for other people, they just can't put it into perspective, and everything in this pile to them is precious. Everything in this pile to them is treasure. Everything in this pile is valuable and it's worth something. So my question today is, what do you consider precious? And I hope this hits your heart today. I hope you're just like, ooh, boy, that's a good question. Let's look at what Peter thought was, and that's what snagged me. I just couldn't get past. I'm like, I think I remember Peter talking about this, so I dug in a little bit more. And let's see what Peter thought was precious. In 1 Peter, now, this is his first letter, he says, as you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious, so precious to God, precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on in verse 6 and says, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, now this is Peter talking, he was quoting, but now he's talking again. To you who believe, this stone, being Jesus, this stone is precious. This stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So Peter says, this stone, this cornerstone of Jesus, the rock of Christ, is precious to you. If you're a believer, Jesus is precious. The stone, the foundation of Christ is precious to you. He says in verse 1, he says, for you know that, chapter 1, verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious, what?
Blood.
Precious is the flow. We sang that this morning. That makes me white as snow, right? It's the precious blood of Jesus. You weren't paid for. Your life wasn't ransomed. You weren't bought back with gold or with cryptocurrency or with property. You were bought with the only thing that could pay for your life. Your life. Your life. Your eternal life. Sometimes it's easy to say, Jesus, wash my sins away. And it means really nothing to us because we've said it so many times. But your life. If all of a sudden it was life and death, that would be a whole different story. Jesus ransomed your life. As real as a terrorist situation or a bomb threat or like as real as a life and death like we think of, this is eternal life. This is eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. This is eternity separated from God or eternity with forever and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he paid for that for you and for me. That's incredible. Wonderful. Why would he do that? He loves you so much. And Peter says, it's with the precious blood of Christ. He saw that blood. Peter got to see it. He saw it with his own eyes. Think about him putting that together. He's like, wait a minute. I was there. I saw that drop of blood. We sing about it. He saw it. He said, this is the precious blood. He knew what that blood did in his life. He knew as he stared with curses into this little girl and said, I don't know that man, blank and blank. And from across the courtyard, Jesus turns, looks right at him. Man. Peter said, that's precious blood. That's precious blood. It's precious blood. Amen. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he says in 2 Peter, we read this already, so this is the second slide that we read. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And through his glory and goodness, he's given us his very great and precious promises. It's like the word of God, these promises of God, these declarations that God has made for our life, those are precious. So Peter thinks that our faith is precious, that the living stone of Jesus, the rock of God, Christ, is precious. He thinks the blood of Jesus is precious. He thinks the promises of God are precious. And I was just thinking, I just put some more comments in here. I'm like, man, our faith, that's precious. And that's what saves us. We're saved by our faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Not of works. And he thinks the living stone, Jesus, is precious. That's who saves us. Right? And the blood of Jesus, that's what saves us, right? It's what paid for our salvation. And the promises of God, we haven't gotten there yet, but that's how we are saved. That's where we're continually being saved by the promises of God working themselves out in our life. I thought that is precious. So what do you consider precious? And why does it matter? I'll give you a sneak peek. It matters. Okay? Just we'll cut to the end. It really matters. It matters what I think is precious. And I would promise you that most of us don't think about it that way. We know it. We feel it. Because when someone wants to take something that's precious to you, you'll let them know that you have a disagreement with that idea, right? But we don't often question that in life. What am I thinking is precious? And why does it matter? Well, it's because of a hometown hero that kind of went awry. Do you guys know this guy? His name is Schmeagol. Schmeagol was a hobbit that lived in the Shire. And has anyone ever seen Lord of the Rings or read the books? Okay, a couple of you guys. Some of you, this is going to be lost on you. Okay? So I'll give you the short version of J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. This is from The Hobbit. So that's Schmeagol. And you can't see the picture very well, but in picture number two, he found this, a friend of his, they fought over it. He ended up killing his friend because he wanted this ring so bad. Yeah. And this ring was made by the evil lord way back in ancient times. And so, but just looking at it, it's just a ring, right? But it's endued with all this evil power, and the one ring wants to go home. It's one ring to rule them all. It's a great analogy for Christology. It's a really cool story. And so he just wants this ring so bad. And so he ends up, and anyone that ever ends up hanging on to it ends up calling it my precious. My precious. My precious. And the ring ends up dominating their life. So you see in the second picture, so the ring kind of endued him with this long life. He lived for hundreds of years. He lived for hundreds of years, but he didn't live for hundreds of years. He lived in bondage and in servitude to this evil idol in his life. So it gave him this power to live on forever, and that's what he ended up looking like. They changed his name to Gollum, because that's about all he just, Gollum, right? And he was just consumed by my precious. But that's the thing about chasing after something that belongs to evil, is the evil one wanted it back. And that's kind of the whole story, is Frodo the Hobbit came in and he had to carry it because he was pure in heart, and he ended up destroying it on Mount Doom or whatever. And it's a cool story, but that's why what's precious to us matters. That's why what's precious to us matters. Let's see what Jesus says about it in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now, this is not a rampage on the evils of bank accounts. That's not what Jesus is talking. He's talking about heart issues here. He's not saying don't have a CD at the bank because you're storing it. That's not at all what he's talking. In fact, the opposite. In one of his other parables, he said, "Why didn't you at least put the money on interest?" You know, that's one of Jesus' parables. So he's not saying that having stored up money is bad. What he's saying is why you're storing it up. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Why? Why? Why is it? This last line. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Whatever you consider to be precious, whatever you consider to be of worth, that's where we're built that way. Your heart is going to be drawn towards that. Schmeagol, Gollum. If it's base, if what is precious to you is not worthwhile, if it's not of eternal value, it's going to take you down instead of up. What would Charles Spurgeon say about something like this? He says, he says it in Charles Spurgeon language. He said, this is a grand moral motive for keeping our desires above groveling objects. So keeping it on high things, not low things. He said, the heart must and will go in the direction of that which we count precious. The whole man will be transformed into the likeness of that for which he lives. Come on, you guys. It matters what you think is valuable, what you think is precious. Jesus thinks that gold, which we think is precious, almost $3,000 an ounce for crying out loud, he thinks that's about as worth paving his streets with. And you've heard 100 preachers say it, you know, it'd be silly for someone walking around with a chain, a rope around their neck, and a chunk of tar hanging on it. Ooh, look at my new jewelry. But that's essentially what Jesus is doing. He doesn't value the things that we value. The heart must and will go in the direction of that which we count precious. I wonder if Charles Spurgeon has any more to say about this. I bet he does. He says, where we place our treasures, our thoughts will naturally fly. It will be wise to let all that we have act as magnets to draw us in the right direction. So just hang on a second. He's saying, you get to choose what you have. You get to choose what you possess. You get to choose what's important and precious to you. So let's let all of that draw us up, not downwards. If our very best things are in heaven, our very best thoughts will fly in the same direction. But if our choicest possessions are of the earth, our heart will be earthbound. Well, hey, Jesus loves me, and God knows that I love this stuff and whatever. He does, but he knows you're going to get stuck in the muck. You love those things, and you're going to end up in a horrible place. That's the kind of thing. Grace wants us to go higher and higher. Charles Simeon, who's a commentator, says, whatever our treasure be, it will occupy the supreme place in our affections and engage in its service the noblest powers of our soul. So then he asks this question, but is such regard due to any earthly thing? Is there anything on earth that's worth that much? All of my heart, like wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart's going to be. So he asks the question, is there anything here on earth that's worth that? He says, does not God claim our hearts as his throne on which he is to reign without rival? Has he not required us to love him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength? If then we make anything else our treasure, we rob him of his honor and we cast him down from his throne. Huh. Matthew 13, Jesus talks a little bit more about this. He says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in the field. He's trying to present heavenly concepts in an earthly way that we can understand. And Jesus is trying to crack open the heart of our affections. He's trying to let us see what really matters in life. That's the problem that Jesus ran up to all the time. Has anyone ever tried to get your child to make their bed of their own free will because they want to? Has anyone tried to get their husband to make the bed? Right? And it's little things like that where you're trying to say, you know what? But if you do it, then it helps your life be more disciplined and everything else goes. I'm still on the other side. I just still don't get it. I've heard it said that it's helpful if you do that. You know what I'm saying? Eat your vegetables, right? We run up against, if we don't see its importance, we don't want to do it. And children don't see the importance of broccoli in that moment. And that's what Jesus bumped up against. So he would tell these stories to try to get them to realize, because your flesh is wanting to say, nah, I don't need to worry about that stuff. But Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is coming to bear on earth. And he said it's like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, say excitement. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus said it needs to be the most important thing, not out of duty, out of practicality. Because if it's not, your heart's going to chase after something else. The kingdom of heaven, he's trying to get you to see, you don't see a lot of it right now, but it's so incredible. It's so amazing. You don't want to miss out. The kingdom of God that's coming to bear on this earth right now. Oh, it's life. Oh, you think you want to be first, but you'll actually end up last. But if you're last, oh man, you just, how many of you, I think I can ask this here. How many of you have ever, you've been more generous than you probably naturally would have. And then afterwards you're like, that was so good. That was so beautiful. That was so freeing. That was so, like, I questioned it. I was struggling. But afterwards, you're just like, oh, I see God all over that. Your spirit is exalted. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us. But we don't see it. We don't see the worth of that. Jesus is trying to tell us all these things that we don't get. We don't see it. It's not precious to us, but he says it's like this precious pearl. And it's like this great treasure. And you don't see it. It's buried in a field. You know it's there. Oh, man, make it worth, of great worth to yourself. And the kingdom of heaven opens up for people that consider it to be of great value. The things of God open up for those who put great worth upon the things of God. And I think too often it's just so easy to take those things for granted. And like you want to love God, but is it your greatest treasure? Right? Is it precious to you? Are the things of God precious to you? Is your faith precious to you? Is the blood of Jesus precious to you? What else is precious? What else is precious to you? David Bowden, we might hear a little bit more from him next week, but David Bowden in his Rewire Your Heart book, he says, what you most love and what you most hate will determine the war for your heart. God built you to say yes to your desires. And in order for God to get to the root of your life, he must get to the root of your heart, to your affections, to what you think is precious. He also says, the word of God is not telling us to stamp out our affections. It's smacking us upside the head, telling us that our affections are too weak. C.S. Lewis would also say that same thing. Our affections are too weak because they're aimed at affectionless things. God alone, as revealed in Christ, is a worthy enough source to create the white hot affections that will produce in us the life of a Christian. Man, that sounds good. That sounds like a good thing. What is precious to you? What do you consider valuable? And I think too many of us, and this is not a bash over the head, this is just a realization that too many times in my life, I just do the God things, right? I just do the stuff, and that's good. I like faithfulness. Faithfulness is a great thing. But where's my affection at? Am I loving this? Like, your Christ life will be way more full of excitement and life and energy and joy and shalom if you treasure it. There's not much joy in duty. There is duty in Scripture. We do see that. But it's not meant to be a drudgery duty. It's meant to be a joy-filled duty. Yeah. Joy-filled duty. Joy-filled faithfulness. Joy-filled Christ life, because it's precious to us. That's why, just because I cry a lot, but, you know, I get choked up a lot of times because, man, I see these things as so valuable. And my heart is always chasing after others. I'm always like, hey, get back here, right? You're always getting that lasso and bringing your heart back. No, Jesus is of more value. He's more precious. He's more beautiful. He's more wonderful. Last verse for today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Paul says, I stopped being a hoarder. All those things that I thought were valuable in my life, I'm not a hoarder anymore. I found Jesus. And I found that not only am I supposed to follow Jesus, I want to follow Jesus because he's valuable to me. He's precious. He's precious. If our hearts are chasing after lowly things, we're going to end up looking like Gollum. For real. We just end up in a low state, stuck in the muck. But if Jesus is the most precious, if his ways are precious, if his voice is precious, if his word is precious, if his presence is precious, you'll see victory in your life. You'll see joy in your life. How many want to have more joy? How many want to have more freedom? How many want to have, right? We like that stuff. But everything else is precious to us except Jesus. And it's, we can't contain that because our heart goes where our affections are. Whatever's precious to you, that's where your heart's going. That's what Jesus said. That's where your heart's going. And that's what Peter knew. Peter knew that if we're going to get you guys to grow, if you're going to see freedom, you need to know what's precious. You need to clean out that old computer from 1987 that hasn't worked in 14 years. Toss it, right? Those old thoughts about that nemesis of yours from fifth grade, just toss it. It's not precious, right? But our vendettas, our hurts, our longings, my dreams, right? You fill in the blanks with 10,000 other things that we count precious, that Jesus says, man, you're missing the high life. You're missing the glory of God. You're missing what you could be living for. What is precious to you today? Let's stir our hearts to let the things of Jesus be precious. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your precious gift of your Holy Spirit, your life. And I just pray this morning that we would just evaluate our hearts and see what we hold dear. Help us to hold the things of God as dear. And I just pray that you would infuse our lives with the word and the ways and the will of God. Pray that we would walk out the kingdom of God this week and see your precious Holy Spirit moving in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.